Hey, it's awesome to be here. I'm not actually a guest speaker because I live in Wood End, and when I go to my parents' house, I've got to go in the car and I go to Preston's. And it's a little bit like here. I very much feel Wes and Janet are my spiritual parents and this is home, so I'm not a guest speaker today. I'm just Az. We're going to have a good morning. I made a little slide this week. Just for this morning, because I thought it was really cool. So that was me preaching at Living Waters in 1999 in the Wigram gym. But what I think is so amazing about that photo is the message that I'm about to preach today is the exact same message that I preached then. Because the gospel doesn't change. The message doesn't change. No matter what the climate is, no matter what's happening in Parliament, the gospel is still the gospel. And that's why I wanted to put that together, because I thought, wow, that is so cool that back then I preached about four dudes that ripped a hole in a roof. Today I'm going to preach about four men that ripped a hole in a roof. So that's why the other slide, Carmen did. She's so amazing. That's our slide for today. My question is, what sort of friend are you? And we'll unpack that a little bit. So thank you, Wes, for having me. Even when you just started. So what's the take home from today? The take home is take Jesus home. Take Jesus home into your world, into your environment, so people get saved. Because there's too many people that are on their way to hell and they don't even know. And how will they know if we don't preach? How will they know if we never share our story, our testimony with them? How will they know? God wants to use you. Oh, well, I'm 85 years old. Well, that's fine. Retirement villages need Jesus.
Come on.
God wants to use you. And it is scary. Sometimes I get very scared. But I'd rather do it afraid than not at all.
Come on.
As I was preparing, I've got a lot of different videos. Because I was preaching up in Tauranga and did an altar call. In 24 minutes, I'm going to do an altar call. And as people started responding, I saw this beautiful elderly lady. You may have seen this video on my Facebook. It's so cool. And she's shaking like anything. And she's walking so slowly up the front of the church. This beautiful elderly lady just shaking uncontrollably. And I just thought, we need to cast that out of her. It could be Parkinson's or something. It's got to go in Jesus' name. That's what I thought. And then she kneels down. Tears pouring down her cheeks, shaking like anything. And she gave her life to Jesus.
Wow, beautiful.
She handed over her life to the King. It was so amazing. And so I did a little video after the service with her. Check this out. I think you'll like it. Hey guys, Daz here. I'm here with Karen.
Literally, her whole body.
And that's not normal.
That's not normal. I know. I've been crying the whole time. That is normal. Because I don't show emotions. So I have fun. To cry, to still crying, and all I want to do is lose.
She knelt up in front of the tears and gave her life to Jesus. It was so beautiful, so powerful. What a beautiful day for you. Father, we just pray for more of your goodness and your kindness. Just keep showing her how much you love her in your precious name. Amen and amen. How beautiful is that? See, she wasn't sick. That was God. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord was all over her.
Yeah, come on.
She's shaking. God's big. The Bible says he holds seven stars in his right hand. That's quite a big hand. So when those hands touch these little wee humans, some just fail to tell you the story, which is very unusual because the story has nothing to do with my message. But I believe God wants me to share this with you today. And you online. Hey, all the life groups and gatherings, so good to see you. 51 years married. That's amazing, Stan and Ronnie. Yeah. You guys should be marriage group leaders or something. Oh, you are. That's right. As a matter of fact, you helped us 8 years ago when Breezy and I were really struggling. You guys are absolute legends. 51 years. That's awesome, eh? Yeah, that's awesome. So I woke up one morning. This is interesting because this is kind of a prophetic-y thing. And this is kind of like a prophetic flow church. So this is why this is coming out, I think, Heather, I think. So I was just having some quiet time. Everyone in the house was asleep. It's 6:15 in the morning. And I heard the Lord say to me, just listen. So for a couple of minutes, that was fine. I was just listening. And then after a couple of minutes, I started thinking, oh, wonder what the surf's like today, or I wonder this, I wonder that. I started drifting, and he just keeps saying, just keep listening. But it's hard to listen to nothing. I'm thinking, well, what am I listening to? And he keeps saying, just keep listening, keep listening, keep listening. And I knew that this was pretty significant, what I was about to hear, but I had no idea what it was. So as I'm sitting there just listening, I could hear this noise, and it sounded like a long way away, like a long way away. And as I'm listening and trying to figure out what it was, it seemed to be getting closer and closer and closer. And as it got closer and closer and closer, I heard screams. At 6:15 in the morning, when you're hearing thousands and thousands of people scream. And I started freaking out a little bit, going, God, what is this? What's going on? And he said, I want you to remember this sound. You see, this was the sound of hell. This was the sound of a topic that we don't like talking about often because it makes us feel uncomfortable. Well, here's the deal. It's okay to feel uncomfortable.
Come on.
That's why we have the Comforter. And it was louder and louder, and it got to the point it was like two jet engines beside my ears, just people screaming in pain and screaming. And the Lord's going, remember this sound when the church tells you to calm down.
Come on.
Remember this sound when you're out in a mall and you want to stand up on a table and preach. Remember the sound when you're worried about finance and ministry and stuff and this and that. Remember that day was actually... Breezy and I thought every 3 months we'll go to Hamner for a day. We'll drop the kids at school at 9, go to Hamner, pick the kids up at 3. We thought we'd do that, you know, 3-4 times a year. We've only done it once, but we need to do that again. And on the way up, I was driving and I was rattled. I was rattled because I heard the screams of hell. And I said to Breezy, can you write this out in a post for me? So she wrote it on this post as we're driving. As I'm driving, she's writing it and then pushed send. That was probably 10:30 in the morning. So we get to Hamner and we're in the pools and I'm still not quite right. I'm still a little bit shaken. Some pastors there. And they go, hey, Daz, how are you? I said, oh, yeah, good. So I went and stood in the pool with these pastors. You see, when you have an encounter with God, put it this way, when you have an encounter with a Mack truck, you come up different. When you have an encounter with God, he changes things. He changes things in your mindset. He changes things in your heart. He gives you a thing called courage. So these pastors were just chit-chatting, and the pastor said to me, hey, I'd love you to come and preach at my church. Which is nice. But I looked him straight in the eye, and I said, no, you don't. You don't want me to preach in your church. It just came out. Because of the encounter, I don't want you to come and preach in my church. And I said, well, why did you say I could? And he said, I'm sorry. He said, I want you to know though, Daz, we pray for you a lot. And I said, that's good. He said, we pray for you that God would calm you down. And when you calm down, then you can come and preach in my church. I said, and I was rocked, man. Tears rolling down my cheeks. I said, I will never calm down. I said, if anything, God wants to stir this thing up. You see, here's the deal. We can be so distracted with vaccines, COVID, the government, that we can forget that people are falling into eternal hell every day. What are we going to do about it? Surely we need to do something. It annoys so many people, but I don't care. Why? Because the main thing has to stay the main thing. What is the main thing? The main thing is the king hanging on the tree. That's worth us protesting, being bold, being loud about Jesus, about King Jesus. So I purposely don't, on social media, I'm just so careful, man, because I'm not going to let myself get drawn into stuff that's not gospel focused. Too many people are going to hell without the Lord because so many Christians are muzzled when it comes to sharing the gospel. And that's what I want to help you with today. I want to help you today to take the mask off. So you can speak freely about the goodness and the kindness of God. Do you know one of Jesus' names is the Prince of Peace? And me, the hope of glory. You carry a supernatural living God inside of you. He used to dwell in a box, now he dwells in you and me. Freely we receive, freely give. Actually, thank you, Lord, because that story ties in beautifully, actually, with Mark 2, 1 to 12. Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man. I think that's beautiful because quite often we could see it as Jesus heals, because that's the exciting thing. That's the amazing thing. Jesus heals and forgives. No, Jesus forgives and he heals. Because heaven doesn't get ecstatic and have a party when someone gets healed. Revival is repentance. 100%. 100%. So here we go. So there was four guys and they had a paralyzed mate. Not in a wheelchair, he was on a stretcher, but I just thought the wheelchair looked cooler. And they couldn't get in to where Jesus was. Jesus was having a meeting. It was that packed that no one could get in. There was no room. There was no room inside and there was no room outside. Verse 2 says, they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, even outside the door. So there were so many people gathered that Jesus was teaching that there was no room. But yet you've got is those four men unified together to get their friend into the presence of God.
That's right.
Unity is actually not an option. It's not an option. If we're praying for revival and seeing our nation shaken with the gospel, we need to be united. Maybe we need to lay down some flags, denominational flags, political flags. Maybe we need to lay them down and pick up the flag of the bloodstained cross, because that's something we can all agree on together. That Jesus came to earth as a beautiful little baby, first night in a manger. That's the feeding box. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords spent his first night in a manger, betrayed. That the answer to the world is Jesus.
Right.
That's it. There's a full stop there. The answer to the world is Jesus. And Jesus is coming back for a spotless bride, not some dysfunctional arguing thing. So maybe when you're looking at on social media, and maybe just check your heart and go, is this building the kingdom or is this being divisive? And share your stuff on your social medias about the goodness of God. So what I think is so amazing is these four, they get there, they've got the stretcher, they've got their friend, they can't get in. So maybe one of them went, maybe friend number one went, oh, can't get in, let's just take them home. Maybe friend number one said that. Maybe friend number three said, let's wait till Jesus does another meeting. And maybe friend number four said, no. Let's smash a hole in the roof. Let's lift them up. Let's unify together. That's the key, unity. This story is so all about unity. I used to think it was all about courage, but it's actually not. It's all about unity. Because they unified together, you see, because they may have slightly different theological opinions and points of view on this and that. One of them may not believe in speaking in tongues. But that's okay, because they unified together, they all grabbed an arm of the stretcher, they climbed up onto the roof, and they started punching a hole in the roof. I think that is so cool. I think that is really cool. The NIV says they started digging. How desperate are you to get your friends into the presence of God? What effort would you put in? Who would you get to come and help you to get your friends in the presence of God? You see, I think this is just such a beautiful picture of normal Christianity. Just normal Christianity. Being desperate to see someone encounter what you've encountered. I think it's a wonderful story. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. He's saying that to you today. Come to him, he'll forgive your sins. Maybe you're watching this online and you're just so weighed down with sin and anger. I want you to know, he is standing at your door knocking, man. But you've got to get up off the couch and open the door yourself. So lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I went into a blooming church to meet girls and I met God. Never the same again. He doesn't make us perfect, but he changed step by step, layer by layer. From glory to glory. So beautiful. So beautiful. So they punch the hole in the roof. They drop their friend in front of Jesus. And I think this sort of thing makes Jesus smile. I think it's another one of those, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me moments where it catches his attention. I think Jesus loves sons and daughters that are radical. I think he loves that. I think he loves it because what he did for us is pretty radical.
Absolutely.
Hanging the ultimate love story, man.
Come on.
So I was thinking, what's a story in my world where I've been a good friend? And I was praying about it and I just kept remembering my grandfather. Most of you guys know my story of my grandfather. But you see, I was doing a lot of evangelism and speaking at events and doing cool stuff and genuinely wanted people to get saved. I genuinely wanted to see people encounter God. But no one knew except me this hatred that was in my heart. No one knew. Even though I was doing all these good things, fine. we can put that little slide up. You see, the power and life of death is in the tongue. And I remember when I was 6 years old, I was sitting on his knee trying to read some words on a page, struggling with dyslexia. And he kicked me off his knee and he said, "You are thick." And that stuck, that I was thick. So when I would get my school reports back, fail, 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 it just made sense. Well, that's because I'm thick. So I partnered with this lie. The power of life and death is in the tongue. So I partnered and I go through life thinking that I'm thick. But what was really interesting, the second time I went to Brownsville, to Pensacola, to the Brownsville Revival, amazing. Like I got born again every night. Like running to the old church. And as the plane was about to land, see, because I've still got this hatred in my heart, the Lord spoke to me and he said, "You need to go and see your granddad. Get behind me. There's no way." Because I'd heard that he was really sick. But you see, he'd really hurt me. But really, what sort of grandson am I? What sort of son, daughter, grandfather, grandmother are you? What sort of friend are you? Because I had 1,000 excuses why not to go and see my granddad. Even my counselors were saying, "Best you don't go and see your granddad." Because even though on the outside things were good, on the inside, if I was in a room with him alone, go and see him. So I got my car, I drove straight to his house. I hadn't been at his house in 8 years. And I heard that he was sick, really sick. And you see, because he was a big man, a big, strong builder. A big man. And when he opened the door, he was this frail little man. I went, "Oh my goodness." I said, "Pop." So we went inside and started talking, and I said, "Jesus loves you, Pop." He said, "If you've come here to talk about your religion, you can go." I had nothing else I wanted to talk about. So I stayed there for a little while, and then a couple of weeks later, I was actually speaking on a Sunday night at Rickerton Baptist Church, speaking at a youth thing, and Mum came to the church, and I see her down the back, and I think, "That's weird. What's Mum doing here?" She came and said, "You need to come and see your granddad. You need to come and see Pop." And the pain that they've caused me, am I going to let that rob someone's eternity? So I went round to the house and the whole family was in his room. He was in his bed and I asked the family to leave. If we could put that other slide up, that'd be great. The one of Jesus. Beautiful King Jesus. And I knelt down beside his bed and I grabbed his hand. And I said to him, I said, "Pop, you're going to die." I said, "Regardless whether you believe in Jesus or not, you're going to stand before him. He loves you, Pop." And I got his hand. And I shared the gospel with him. Even though there was so my brokenness and my anger towards this man. But you see, God used the one that the man hurt the most to lead him to Christ. So I'm kneeling down, and that was healing me like you've got no idea. And I'm kneeling down, holding his hand, and I looked at him. I said, "Pop, do you want to give your life to Jesus?" This is a man for 72 years had spat in the face of God. An atheist. A God mocker. He nods his head. You see, that is amazing grace. That's what grace looks like, man. So for 72 years he'd rejected Jesus, got hours left on planet Earth, and he says, "Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I believe you died for me as what I'm saying. I want you to squeeze my hand." He was squeezing my hand so hard as I'm kneeling beside his bed. Hours after he gave his life to Jesus, he went to be with Jesus. This morning, I want to kneel beside your bed. And I want to ask you, where are you at with Jesus today? Not where are you at with church. Where are you at with Jesus? Do you wake up in the morning with Jesus on your mind? Do you go to bed at night with Jesus on your heart? Because I want to stand, kneel beside your bed and hold your hand and introduce you to the King of all glory. If that's you in here, just kneel down. Just say, Jesus, here I am. We're just going to sing the song, and if this is you, don't let fear hold you in your seat. You see, because the devil likes to use these chains called fear to hold you in your seat. I want you to know, as you stand up and move, your posture changes, those chains will break and you will be free. Because the Bible says, who the Son, that's not that round thing in the sky, that's the Son of God, that's Jesus, who I've been talking about all morning, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Let's sing this, eh? Jesus, amazing grace. I'm about to close this altar. See, anyone in this room or in the overflows, if you need to get right with God, today is your day. Everyone watching at home, this is your day. This is your day. I'm going to pray for you. Actually, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him up from the dead, you will be saved. There's no bigger gift on planet Earth than the gift of salvation. Dear Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you for amazing grace. I ask you now, Lord, to forgive me of all of that stuff. Set me free today. I give you my life. I ask you, Jesus, to use me to shine your goodness, to shine your kindness. Every day. Amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you guys. Amen.